Well, it's the delight to be back with you again and to look anew and afresh at the book of Proverbs. Where are we in the book of Proverbs? I mean, where are we in our daily reading in the book of Proverbs? Why, what is today's date? July the 27th means we're reading the 27th chapter of Proverbs. One chapter a day takes us through the book in 1 month. July has 31 days, 31 chapters in Proverbs. August has 31 days, 31 chapters in Proverbs. September has 30 days, which means when we come to the end of September, we read Proverbs 30 and 31. And then we go back to October. That's the goal of reading through the book of Proverbs. We know that Proverbs has seven sections to it, and today, when we turn to Proverbs chapter 27 in our reading, we understand that we are in the section where we've got more Proverbs of Solomon. So here's what's going on. The opening nine chapters of the book is the introduction. It sets the stage. It opens the door. It gives us the invitation to come and feast on the wisdom of the Proverbs of Solomon. So when you come with me to chapter 10 and verse 1, the next section of the book begins with the Proverbs of Solomon. 375 Proverbs that take you through midpoint in chapter 22. Then you pick up the 30 sayings of the wise. Then you pick up more sayings of the wise. Then when you come to Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 1, lo and behold, you find another collection of the book of Proverbs. Men from the kingship of Hezekiah found more of Solomon's Proverbs, and they put it into this book. Hezekiah reigned in the land of Judah 200 years after Solomon. So 200 years later, the book of Proverbs are still being compiled. So turn with me, for example, to Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 1. Okay, look at verse 1. These are more Proverbs of Solomon copied by the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Well, that's where we are in our reading today. Chapters 25 through 29, we're looking at the proverbial collection by the men of Hezekiah, more wisdom from Solomon. So today's reading takes us to Proverbs chapter 27. I want you to note how the book or the chapter begins. Please look at verses 1 and 2, two of the most famous sayings in the book of Proverbs. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Verse 2, let another praise you and not your own mouth, someone else, and not your own lips. Two of the most important proverbial sayings in the chapter. Verse 5. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Verse 6. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Wow. Verse 12. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple, that's the naive, keep going and suffer for it. Wow. Amazing. Look at verse 17. This is one of the reasons we gather together. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Whoa, unbelievable wisdom here. Look at how the chapter ends. This will be our text for next Sunday morning. Be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds. Why? For riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations. When the hay is removed, and new growth appears, and the grass from the hills is gathered in. The lambs will provide you with clothing, and the goats with the price of a field. You will have plenty of goat's milk to feed you and your family, and to nourish your servant girls. Wow, what wisdom in the 27th chapter of the book of Proverbs. So the goal is to read through the chapter. Find a verse. I just read several that are so important. Put that verse into the memory bank as you move forward tomorrow in Proverbs chapter 28, and then the next day in Proverbs chapter 29. That's the goal. And before long, we begin to realize that the wisdom is seeping through from our heads to our hearts. And we're beginning to get a little glimpse of what it means to fear the Lord so that we gain more wisdom and insight and discernment. That's the goal. Please look at this morning's message. It's entitled Proverbs on Poverty. What makes people poor? Well, we're going to see that there are two fundamental reasons the Proverbs gives as to the reasons for poverty. And then beyond that, what are we supposed to do about it in light of being members of the believing community of the family of God? Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the joy that is ours to look anew and afresh into the book of Proverbs. We thank you for this all-important subject on poverty. And we would ask, Heavenly Father, that you would speak to our hearts and minds as we contemplate the wisdom of Proverbs this day. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In our previous study, we saw that wealth is the fruit of wisdom, but the reverse is also true. Folly results in poverty. This is especially clear, writes Tremper Longman, in the contrast drawn between those who work hard and those who are lazy. In Proverbs, laziness is seen as the epitome of foolish behavior. A good example of this is Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. There are, however, other kinds of folly that Proverbs cites as reasons for poverty. Are there ever? It's also important to note that not all poverty is the result of foolish behavior. Sometimes people are poor because of circumstances beyond their control. Hence, Proverbs makes a distinction between the fool and the poor. The foolish are rebuked, but the poor are a special concern of the Lord. Proverbs 14 and verse 31 says, "Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him." There is a big distinction in Proverbs between the fool and the poor. The poor, well, those are the folk that are worthy of our charity, not the fool. No, not the fool. And that's the distinction the Proverbs makes. As it does with wealth, the book of Proverbs offers a realistic look at the reasons for poverty. At the same time, it warns us of the folly that leads to poverty, and it challenges us to help those who are poor through no fault of their own. That's ultimately what we're going to see here today. First and foremost, foolish behavior leads to poverty. Oh, does the proverb sound this forth loud and clear? Foolish behavior leads to poverty. Five examples of folly. Five examples. A, exhibit A, is laziness. One of the most unforgettable characters in the Bible is the sluggard. He's referred to over a dozen times, but only in the book of Proverbs, like chapter 6 and 10 and 13 and 15 and 19 and 20 and 21 and 22 and 24 and 26. The sluggard is all over the place in the book of Proverbs, but that's the only place in the Bible that he appears. As we shall see, sluggards are allergic to work. The very thought of it exhausts them. They rarely start a project, and when they do, they never finish it. Their lifetime motto is mañana. Never do today what you can be doing tomorrow. Well, guess what? The sluggard takes center stage in three sections of Proverbs. There are three places in the book where the spotlight is on the sluggard. Are you ready? First comes a word of admonition. That's Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. That's the motto of the sluggard. And here's the commentary. Poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. Oh, yes, that's true. Laziness is the primary cause in the book of Proverbs for poverty, and the example par excellence is Mr. Sluggard or Mrs. Sluggard, whoever that might be. Secondly, we move from the admonition to an observation. Now, this is wisdom literature at its finest. A wise man is walking past the vineyard, and he takes a look at what he sees. And then, based upon what he sees, he applies what he sees to his heart. And then, based upon what he knows, he makes a conclusion based upon what he is just seeing. This is wisdom par excellence. Are you ready? Number two, we move from Proverbs 6 to Proverbs 24, 30 through 34. Here's the wise man. I went past the field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. Ooh, I applied my heart to what I observed, and I learned a lesson from what I saw. And here's the lesson I'm passing on to you. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, that's the man's motto, and poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man. You see, that kind of condition concerning that vineyard, that doesn't happen overnight. It takes time to develop that kind of ruin, all the result of being sluggardly. Third scenario, spotlight now turns to Proverbs chapter 26, 13 through 16. Oh, love this scene. Verse 13, the sluggard says, there's a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets, which translated means, I can't go to work today because I might get hit by a truck. As a door turns on its hinges, verse 14, so a sluggard turns on his bed, which means the sluggard is always moving. Oh, yes, he is, but he's never going anywhere. Verse 15, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He's too lazy to bring it back to his mouth, which translated means what he starts, he never finishes. And finally, the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who answer discreetly, which means he deludes himself into thinking that he knows more than the wisest of the wise. The sluggard is the fool. The fool par excellence thinks that he knows more than anybody else in his world. Nobody's going to tell him anything. He's just going to keep on being sluggardly. Don't bother me. I'm happy in my misery. Don't go down that road, says the wise man, because a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and bam, poverty will strike like a bandit. You all remember the day when there were alarm clocks? You remember those days? We actually had alarm clocks. And do you remember on those alarm clocks there were snooze buttons? You remember those snooze buttons? Bump! Alarm goes off. Oh, I'll just roll over for another 10 minutes. Bump! Oh, I'll just run over. And before you know it, you sleep through the morning. You do that day in and day out. That's the sure way to poverty, according to the book of Proverbs. Secondly, in addition to laziness, we've got empty talk instead of hard, honest work. chapter 14 and verse 23. All hard works brings a profit, but mere talk, yakety yak, mere talk leads only to poverty. The word only highlights the significance of this principle. Those who say they are planning to work, but never do, are on a one-way pathway to the poorhouse. Yakety yak, yakety yak, yakety yak. Have you filled out that application yet? Yep, yakety yak, nothing's done. Have you gone for that interview yet? Yep, yakety yak, yakety yak, nothing's done. I call people like this the basement boys. You know the basement boys in our culture today? The basement boys. Oh, they're there. They're down there. They're telling mom. They're telling dad. I'm going to go out. I'm going to find a job. Yakety yak, yakety yak, yakety yak. And before you know it, they can't get moving. They're just leads to poverty. Well, what's mom and dad to do? Well, I've got one solution, but that's for another day. That's for another day. Empty talk, yakety yak, instead of hard, honest work. Proverbs 14 and verse 23. Third, oh, is this important? Assuming responsibility for another's debt. My goodness. My goodness. Carrying debt that we owe is difficult enough. Carrying debt that somebody else's owes, oh, forget about it, says the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 5, my son, a father says, if you have put up security for your neighbor, which means if you have guaranteed his loan, you are securing, you are guaranteeing another person's loan. If you have struck hands in pledge for another, that's similar to a handshake, no problem. If you have been trapped by what you have said, ensnared by the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, to free yourself, since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands. Go, humble yourself, press your plea with your neighbor, plead for mercy. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. By accepting responsibility for someone else's debt, we allow him or her to take control of our life. If they default on their loan, their creditors will come after us. They don't care. So Proverbs 22 and verse 26 and 27 says, do not be a man who strikes hands in pledge or who puts up security for debts. Don't do that. If you lack the means to pay, your very bed will be snatched from under you. So Proverbs 22, 26, and 27. A similar warning is sounded in Proverbs 11 and verse 15. He who puts up security for another will surely suffer. Ah, but whoever refuses to strike hands in pledge is safe. According to Proverbs, the wise avoid co-signing someone else's loan at all costs. The proverb sounds this warning not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, but five times. This is called misguided generosity. Misguided generosity, where you allow yourself to be entangled in somebody else's affairs. If they go belly up, somebody's coming after you. And they don't care if it's the last bed in your house. They will come and confiscate it because you signed the note in addition to the borrower. What a powerful, powerful warning. The latest statistics that I have read, 40% of all cosigners wind up paying the bill. 40%. Avoid cosigning at all costs. It's always better to give, to help others get into whatever they need to get into, rather than putting your name on the line so that you are on the hook. For example, when one of our daughters was launching out, just having graduated from college, debt was still there but manageable, needed a car. One of these daughters of ours came to us and said, "We can't get into this car, which we need to get into in order to get to work, unless we get a cosigner." We said, "Daughter of ours, loving daughter of ours, the answer is no." So here's what we'd like you to do. Go back to the salesman and find out how much money you will need to put down to get your payments reasonable so that you can carry the monthly notes until you can pay off that car. Well, that daughter of ours took that wisdom to heart, found out exactly how much more she needed to put into the car so that she could make her payments on time. And that was the arrangement. You just give to help offset potential disaster, if at all possible. The better part of wisdom is do not co-sign anybody's note, anybody's loan. Your creditors, their creditors, will become your creditors. So what have we done so far? We've looked at the first three levels of folly. Poverty is caused by laziness. Poverty is caused by mere talk as opposed to hard, honest work. Poverty is caused by assuming somebody else's debt. Fourthly, self-indulgent pleasure and worthless pursuits. Oh my goodness, the Proverbs sing this song from beginning to end. Three Proverbs serve as a warning against this kind of folly. First, look at Proverbs 21 and verse 17. Whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. Whoever loves wine and oil will never be rich. Please note well, there is nothing wrong with enjoying the finer things of life. But an unbridled or uncontrolled love of those things is very costly. People who try to live above their means often bring upon themselves financial ruin. Enjoy the finer things of life. As long as you can afford them, enjoy them. But don't go into debt because of them. Whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. Whoever loves wine and oil will never be rich. Second proverbial point of wisdom. Proverbs 23, 19 through 21. Listen, my son, and be wise, and keep your heart on the right path. Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat. Why? For drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags. Please note well, both drunkards and gluttons epitomize self-indulgence. Both squander money to support their addictive lifestyles and appetites, and in time, both become destitute. That's the reason to steer clear of those who are recklessly wasteful of money. It leads to poverty. Of course it does. Any addictive behavior can cause that kind of financial ruin. Third proverb, top of the next page, please. Proverbs 28 and verse 19. Love this proverb. Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread. Did you see that? Whoever works hard will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits we'll have plenty of poverty. Well, what in the world does that mean? Well, that's Proverbs 28 and verse 19. Almost restated verbatim in chapter 12 and verse 11. What does it mean to follow worthless pursuits? Well, given the immediate context, Worthless pursuits include any and all ventures that lead to ill-gotten gain, such as bribery. Verse 21. Miserliness. Ooh, there's a word we don't see too much. Verse 22. Deception by flattery. I will butter you up one side and down the other if I can get something from you. If I can convince you to give me something, I will butter you up one side and down the other if it benefits me, if I can cheat you out of something. Oh, yes. And worst of all, oh, my dear, robbing one's father and mother. Verse 24. Did you see it? Sooner or later, all such get-rich-quick schemes lead to poverty. If not in this world, then in the world to come. Just look at that sad, sorry catalog. Verse 19 says, you pursue worthless pursuits, you're going to have plenty of poverty. Well, just read two verses down. Bribery is a worthless pursuit. Being stingy, hoarding, gathering whatever you can, as much as you can, miserliness, gets you nowhere. Deception by flattery, and worst of all, robbing one's father and mother. It's amazing how the human heart can just rationalize all of these worthless pursuits. I mean, for example, after all, the Proverbs tell me that I'm going to inherit my parents' wealth. I know that because that's what Proverbs chapter 19 says. The Proverbs tell me that I'm going to inherit my parents' wealth. Fine. I'm mom's power of attorney. No problem. I'm on every single one of her accounts. No problem. I'm on every single one of her credit cards. No problem. How easy it will be for me just to take a little money from myself. Nobody will know. I'll figure out how to move money here, there, and everywhere so that my younger brother, my younger sister will never know when mom passes away. After all, I had power of attorney. We had so many joint accounts together. My name was on every credit card account. No problem. Ooh, don't go down that road, says the book of Proverbs. Those are worthless, vain pursuits, just like stinginess, just like bribery, just like deception by flattery. And there are so many other get-rich-quick schemes that Proverbs highlights back in the day. Amazing. Well, that's a surefire way that leads to poverty. Then E, on your notes, probably worst of all, ignoring corrective discipline. This surely leads to poverty. Look at Proverbs 13 and verse 18. He who ignores discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction is honored. Here, a much deeper problem comes into view. Rejecting the instruction that will correct these faults, like laziness, like empty talk, like misguided generosity, like self-indulgent pleasure and worthless ventures. If you reject the instruction, the discipline not to go down that path, that leads to poverty. Ironically, those who resist the discipline offered in Proverbs are disciplined in another way, by poverty and disgrace. That's what we call irony. You reject the discipline of the Lord. You reject the instruction. You reject the correction of the world, the word. It just causes your heart to be more and more hardened, and you just continue down the wrong path. So, those are five examples of folly that Proverbs say will lead surely to poverty. Shall we review them? Sluggardliness, or being lazy. Yakety, 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 yak, mere talking, as opposed to hard work. Taking on somebody else's debt burden. Self-indulgent pleasures and worldly pursuits, worthless pursuits. And finally, ignoring corrective discipline. Why in the world would you want to do that if the wisdom tells you to do the precise opposite of what will give you wealth? Okay. Well, that's the first major reason why Proverbs cites poverty, but there's a second reason, and this is important. Poverty is also the result of circumstances beyond one's control. There are two realistic problems that Proverbs recognize about the poor. These are timeless. First, injustice and oppression. Proverbs 13 and verse 23. A poor man's field may produce abundant food, but injustice sweeps it away. This proverb assumes the poor work hard and collect plenty of food, but then someone or something unjustly sweeps it all away. Perhaps a thief steals all the produce, or a government official confiscates the man's goods. No matter what the injustice might be, the point is clear. This kind of poverty is not the result of poor working habits. It's not the result of foolish behavior. It's because of adverse circumstances beyond our control. And the Proverbs recognize this. So this is the person who is numbered among the poor, not numbered among the fools that Proverbs is talking about. There's a big distinction. The second thing that Proverbs recognizes, in addition to injustice and oppression, is indifference. We see this all the time. Look at Proverbs 29 and verse 7. The righteous care about the justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern in Proverbs. This is a litmus test for being righteous or wicked. It's not what you say you believe, it's what you do. The wicked are apathetic about the rights of the poor. That's not my problem, they say. The righteous are sympathetic. Thus the wise stand with the poor, unlike the world, so says Bruce Waltke. How? By being gracious and generous. Note Proverbs 19 and verse 17. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. Did you all see that? He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he, the Lord, will reward him for what he has done. So here's what we need to know. When we give our money to help the poor, the truly poor and needy, we are giving a loan to the Lord. And in return, the Lord, who made the poor, chapter 2 and verse 2, assumes their indebtedness. He repays the lender in full with interest. Look at chapter 11 and verse 25. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others himself will be refreshed. That's an axiomatic theme throughout the book of Proverbs. Once again, Proverbs is not reluctant to teach about the rewards of generosity. The more we learn to fear the Lord, the more we gain wisdom. The more we gain wisdom, the more generous we become. The more generous we are, the more blessing we receive. Kabish! What does it mean to fear the Lord? It means to have a deep and abiding reverence for Him. It means to depend upon Him and look to Him for all that we need. It means that He is the potter, we are the clay. It means that He is the king, we are the subjects. It means He is the master, we are the servants. Everything that we have is His. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. None of it is mine, all of it is His. And as He blesses me, I learn to trust Him and depend upon Him that He will continue to supply for my needs, which frees me up from being tight-fisted to open-handed. And that's the wisdom of the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is insight. It's practical skill, enabling us to manage our money wisely so that we learn to hold things loosely, so that we learn to become more generous with the things that he has entrusted to us, and in turn, he reciprocates 10 times. There's a story I often tell that illustrates this principle. Hang on, this is a real, true story. It happened here years ago. When our church was looking for a lawn care service, I saw Roger Leone's truck in our neighborhood, parked right down the street. Well, when I approached him and explained our situation, he told me that he was a Christian and that he would be glad to take care of us. For about the next 10 years, he faithfully took care of our lawn service and our snow removal until the day he could no longer work. He's now with the Lord in a better country, a heavenly one. During one of our many conversations, he told me that his truck hadn't passed inspection. The tires were badly worn. He asked me to pray that he find the money to cover this unexpected expense before he had to go back for reinspection. Several weeks later, he showed up with the new tires that he had found at a great price. Then he told me how that happened. A number of years earlier, he was in a coffee shop. It was a cold, rainy morning, and he saw a man who was trying to warm his hands by holding a hot cup of coffee. The man was shivering because he wasn't wearing a jacket. So Roger walked over to him, offered to give him the one that he was wearing. The man was reluctant to take it until Roger told him they had another one in the truck. The man took the coat, and they each went their separate ways. Years later, after that failed inspection, Roger dropped in at a place that was selling used tires. He found a set of 4 that were just the right size and looked fairly new. When he asked what they would cost, the man told him nothing. Roger was really taken back until the man said, "You don't remember me, do you?" I was in a coffee shop years ago. I didn't even have a coat to wear on a cold, rainy morning. You gave me yours. The least I can do is give you these 4 beautiful tires for me. Roger will always be remembered as someone who was truly merciful to those in need. He loved to give to others, expecting nothing in return, but in the end, he was even more blessed. He modeled the wisdom of Proverbs. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. That's the model we should all want to follow. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the insight of the book of Proverbs. We thank you for the distinction between folly and real poverty. Heavenly Father, we would ask that you would protect us against poverty and all the while give us wisdom to take care of our own needs and as we see others in need. Might you give us the wisdom, the heart, the generosity to reach out to help those. How we thank you that it is more blessed to give than receive. Guide us, direct us, lead us as a result of this study in money matters. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.